Wilson, clean pocket. Intercepted.
Justin Reed.
Picked off by Justin Reed. He wisely takes a knee. And Pittsburgh turns it over.
Steelers in the midst of a three-game losing streak. Cincinnati, hot. They've won four in a row. They've put themselves in a position where they could make the playoffs. They'll need help. They need to beat the Steelers, obviously, and they need another couple of things that are unlikely to happen to fall their way, but they're in this thing, and so they're playing tomorrow. I had said for a long time, man, they'll be eliminated. They're not going to play T. Higgins. We'll see if Joe Burrow makes a business decision. Keep him healthy over the offseason. Well, they're playing everyone. NFL, with its shrewd scheduling, makes sure that the game matters for them. I think the Steelers win anyway. I want you to tell me if you agree at 412-928-9370. Vibe check, how you feeling about Steelers-Bengals? Here's why the Steelers are going to win this football game. Steelers got the extra rest, and that matters. Of course it matters. Routine matters, but rest matters more. And the Steelers have had none of that over the course of the last month of the season. The routine's all messed up. You're playing on a Sunday, then you're playing on a Saturday, then you're playing on a Wednesday, and it's three games in 11 days, and you're banged up, and guys don't have time to get healthy. So you're shorthanded and you're beat down. You play the Eagles. They keep the ball. It felt like for an eternity in that second half. Your defense gets bludgeoned and worn down against the most physical team in football. Then you got to turn around and play the next most physical team in Baltimore. Teams don't win after they play the Eagles. And the Steelers lost to the Ravens. The Steelers, in their last 21 games, are under 500. The immediate game that follows a Ravens game. So, historically, they don't win that one. And they had to play the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. I'm not saying that's the only reason the Steelers went 0-3, but it was absolutely a contributing factor. The same way the schedule has been a contributing factor to the hotness, if you will, of the Cincinnati Bengals. Who they beat? They beat the Cowboys. No Dak. No, nobody. That team stinks. They beat the Titans. That team stinks. They beat the Browns. That team stinks. And they beat the Broncos, a fringe playoff team, in a game that went to overtime that could have gone either way. And you give them credit. They took care of business. They won those four. But let's not pretend like the schedule doesn't have something to do with it. Those first three teams I mentioned have combined for 13 wins on the year. It was not a murderer's row. And so Joe Burrow puts up points. He puts up yards. They win games. They're the hottest team in football. Inarguably, they won four straight. But look at who they played. And look at what the Steelers have gone through. It's not the same. The Steelers are 0-3 on short weeks this year. They lose to Cleveland. They lose to Baltimore. They lose to Kansas City. But they're 3-0 with at least an extra day rest. They play the Giants on Monday, so you get the extra day rest. They play Washington coming off the bye week. Beat them. And then they beat Cincinnati when they had the mini bye following that Cleveland game. So the Steelers, when they get rest, they win. When they don't, they lose. They've got a lot of extra rest here. They haven't played since Wednesday last week. Christmas Day. That's forever ago. That's a year ago. They haven't played. Last time this happened against Cincinnati, they had a beautiful offensive game plan. They stymied Joe Burrow for three quarters, basically. Forced him into a couple of turnovers. I think they're going to win this football game. The rest matters. The health matters. The only guy who's questionable in this game is Dante Jackson, because he's got the pinched nerve in his back. And I can relate. That sucks. You have to be prepared for him to leave this game at any moment. He says he's going to play. But at some point, that could flare up and he's out. And then you got Trice in there and you see what he can do against probably the most formidable, or at least right there in the conversation, wide receiver corps in the NFL. I get it, but everybody else is healthy. Watts had extra time to recover from his ankle injury. And Jaylen Warren's had a little extra time to recover from the ribs. Everybody's going to play in this football game. All the big guys. You're healthy. Meanwhile, Cincinnati not. Chase Brown, their starting running back, he's listed, according to Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, as a game-time decision. He ain't going to play. I saw the injury last week. It's gamesmanship. He's not playing in this football game. He's a good player. He's got 1,200 yards on the year, 11 touchdowns, if you combine his receiving and rushing totals. He's a good player. He's their primary back. They're not going to be able to run the ball in this football game. It's going to be all on Joe Burrow. And you might say, well, that's what they want. Sure. But they can't be one-dimensional. I think they will be. So I like the Steelers in this game. And they can show me a lot here, too. They can right a lot of the wrongs of the last 3 weeks, in my opinion, if they go out there and win the game. I think they will. Because it'll show me that the circumstances had a lot to do with why they went 0-3 over that stretch. And now you've got the schedule in your favor here. Cincinnati doesn't have as short of a week. You have a long week. Schedule sets up for you here. You're at home. Take care of business. And I think they will. 412-928-9370. Fake John and Robinson, hello.
Adam, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good, man. How are you?
Just wonderful. I want to pontificate a little bit about George Pickens here. So One thing I actually agree with Mark Caballi on is he said this way back that you either have to trade this guy or pay him in the offseason. There's no way you can bring him back on his fourth year without paying him. He'll be nothing but a problem, as he's proven to be even to this point. But, you know, the other thing here is, you know, so, well, I'll keep going there. I think you do trade him and his burner account as far away as you possibly can.
Well, real quick on that, John, and then I'll let you continue to pontificate because you're really smart with this kind of stuff. What do you think they could reasonably get back for Pickens?
Not a first. It'll start as a three. They can maybe try to reach up for a two. I know Pony and Mahler were talking about it and saying early second they would love to take. I think that's getting a little rich. I think, you know, this guy has kind of proven, I would say on and off the field, just with his interviews and everything, but on the field still scares me. Look at what he does with the football. He doesn't take care of it once he has it in his hands. Every time he catches the ball and tries to make a play, it scares me that he just holds it like a loaf of bread and he's going to get it knocked out, or what he's going to do after the play. So I think smart GMs across the league are going to look at that and say, you know, what exactly are we getting? Plus just the history of wide receivers leaving Pittsburgh that start his problems here. They don't seem to improve when they go elsewhere. But the other point is, and, you know, I know you laugh at callers for taking it back to Tomlin and Colin, but that's the cause and effect of things. I think this goes way back to Tomlin rage trading Deontay without a plan in place. And then they had to chase Ayuk, chase other guys. And then they also drafted Roman Wilson, who you're bigger than, instead of taking a guy like Jalen McMillan. They could be set up in a great spot with Jalen McMillan and George Pickens across from each other. Trade Pickens, sign Higgins. I know that's easy to say, but you can offer him a lot more than you would have offered George Pickens. And then draft another wide receiver in the second or third round with what you get back for George Pickens. So, I mean, it's solvable. Not this year, but I think you got to get rid of this guy if you're going to move forward at all.
I would do all of those things before I paid him $30 million this offseason.
I don't think anybody will. That's going to be the issue, too, is I don't – you know, wherever he goes, he's going to want a contract in place. And, you know, it's almost going to have to be somebody that just has a ton of cash space, like New England, or somebody like Vegas that's just starving for.
Well, if it were one of those teams, then it would be an early second-round pick if you could get it, or I guess it would be an early third-round pick. John, you think the Steelers are going to beat the Bengals?
I don't. I think they're washing down. I think they've shown their true colors. That's another thing, too, is I don't like when – you know, we kind of reset expectations. They're 10-3. I don't like walking that back. Nothing happened. Real, you know, we didn't lose a quarterback. We didn't lose any major playmakers. We're a little dinged up on defense, but everybody is by that point in the season. You can't go 10-3 and then all of a sudden say, well, let's just win a playoff game, and that's good enough. We were already talking about AFC Championship game or bust, possibly hosting it.
What if they beat Houston and then lose by a field goal in Kansas City? Will you be satisfied?
You got to beat Kansas City. You got to get to that AFC Championship game. That was the expectation. The 10-3. You can't walk it back.
I like that from John. That's strong. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your call.
Happy New Year.
Hey, you too. When do we stop that, by the way, Callis? The Happy New Year stuff.
After the New Year's Day holiday, I would say.
I mean, he just dropped one on me there. A couple other callers have said Happy New Year. I think next week we don't have to do Happy New Year anymore. I just assume that if you're calling, you want me to have a Happy New Year, and you should just assume I want you to have a Happy New Year.
I got a better answer.
Mm-hmm.
You wish everyone a Happy New Year once through January.
The whole month?
But, like, if you haven't seen someone in a while, like, oh, Happy New Year. It's, you know, it's 2025 now. I haven't seen you.
So if I see someone, how many days are in January?
31.
Okay. So if I see someone January 31st for the first time this year, on January 31st, I have to say Happy New Year?
You don't have to, but it would still be acceptable.
You could say it to me. Fine. On the 31st, if I haven't seen it, you could say it to me. But I'm not starting that. I will reciprocate. I ain't going to be the first Happy New Year. Not happening.
Nobody said anything's a requirement here.
412-928-9370. Vibe check. How you feeling about Steelers-Bengals? I understand where John's coming from at 10-3. We were talking about this team possibly being an AFC champion. Getting to the AFC championship. And now I've moved the goalpost to it will be a successful season if they win a playoff game and then hold strong in the second game. I mean, that's how I feel. Like, they're not going to be expected to beat Kansas City or be an underdog if they were to beat Houston. They'll be an underdog. You hang in there, you cover the spread, you lose by a field goal. I think you can make an argument that you've made strides. And with the proper roster adjustments and augmentations this offseason, hey, maybe next time you win that game. 412-928-9370. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here's a text here. Adam, those are all excuses for a team that blows. You're better than this. The whole team sucks. They'll continue to suck until mediocre Mike, old man Rooney are gone. Look, I'll agree with this part of what John said too. Like, they were 10-3. I'm not flushing 10-3 down the toilet because they lost these last three games. I think the answer is somewhere in between. They were good enough to be 10-3. They're 5-3 against playoff teams. Yeah, they're 10-6. And the last three have looked ugly. I think the answer is somewhere in between. I think it's a good, not great football team. But to say that they suck, I'm sorry, I just can't get there. Another text. You were just ragging on the Bengals for beating the Cowboys and Browns, who you said stink. Well, the Steelers lost to those teams. Yeah, they lost to the Cowboys with Dak, and the Steelers are playing Justin Fields. That's reality. And they lost to the Browns in a game that I'm not giving them a pass for, but it was a short week. The Steelers are 0-3 on short weeks. I'm not saying that's okay. That's the fact. And they had Jameis Winston at that time, and they were playing their best football of the season, for whatever that's worth. The Bengals are feasting off of poor competition to get to 4-0 in their last four, and the Steelers have played a murderer's row in a difficult schedule spot. If you want to ignore that, fine, but we all bitched about the schedule coming into the year. Why are we not allowed to complain about it on the back end? Do you think the Steelers are going to beat the Bengals? 412-928-9370. I do. If you don't think the Steelers win, why? And what are you hoping to see in this game? If you had one thing you wanted to see as they go into the playoffs, what's that one thing? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Vibe check, how we feeling about Steelers-Bengals? I think the Steelers are going to win the game. They're 3-0 when they have extra rest, 0-3 when they don't. Cincinnati working on a regular work week. The Steelers, they got their mini bye here. The Steelers are healthy. Cincinnati's not. We'll talk to James Rapien from Sports Illustrated coming up at 9 o'clock as we go behind enemy lines. T. Higgins has been on the injury report this week. Could he make a business decision? You know, even if the Bengals win the game, the odds of them making the playoffs are still slim. Does he say, oh, man, I'm not feeling great, I'm not playing, because he's looking for money? We'll talk to James about that. I don't know how likely that is, but I am curious. Chase Brown, the running back, 990 rushing yards. 300 or so receiving yards, 11 touchdowns on the season. He's a game-time decision, I don't think he's going to play. I saw what happened to him last week, and he didn't practice this week. Be shocked if he plays. So Cincinnati not healthy. You are. Your only concern is Dante Jackson, who's dealing with that back issue. He's questionable. He says he's going to play. He might have to leave at certain points. He might have to leave at some point and not return. So Corey Trice Jr. is going to have to be up to snuff and ready to go. But the Steelers are healthy. Cincinnati's not. The Steelers had extra time to prepare. Cincinnati did not. Cincinnati's been eating on a cupcake schedule. The Steelers, well, they've had a tough time digesting their last three games because they played three of the best, maybe the three best teams in football. So while the teams seemingly are trending in different directions, I think there's reasons for that. Not making excuses, I'm giving you reasons. Cincinnati's defense didn't get better overnight. They stink. Joe Burrow got sacked seven times against the Broncos. Marius Mims, starting right tackle for Cincinnati, I don't think he plays in this game. And if he doesn't, T.J. Watt's going to feast. I think Pittsburgh wins. Who do you think wins? 412-928-9370. You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What do you want to see in this game? If you can give me one, and I'll lay out some of the things that I want to see, and then I'll give you my number one. What do you need to see in this game? Apart from just who wins and why, what do you need to see? One thing from this Steelers team going into the postseason. 412-928-9370. Here are the big ones, and then I'll crystallize it down to one. Burrow and company are averaging just over 28 points per game this season. Can you hold them to under that number? Again, that's their season average. If you hold them under 28, and there's none of these miscommunication, finger-pointing nonsense after the game, I think you're feeling a little bit better, at least, about this Steelers defense. You know, you play Patrick Mahomes, you play Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, and you play Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers, who's their first Pro Bowl wide receiver in the history of the Ravens franchise, which is amazing to me. You play those teams, they're going to move the ball, they're going to score some points, though Lamar hasn't historically against Pittsburgh. What you can't do is make it easy on them. Make them earn it. There was the third down in the Kansas City game where Travis Kelce's just wide open in the middle of the field. There's no one on your TV picture. That can't happen. That guy, that time, third down, wide open? No. You have to make Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe T. Higgins, earn it. They're going to make plays on you. Those are superstar wide receivers. It might be the best quarterback in football, certainly a top three guy. They can beat you by earning it. Make them earn it. So can you hold them under 28 points? And can you make them earn it, damn it, and not have any of these miscommunications? Offensively, can you get the big plays back into this offense? Can you move the ball and score some points? 155 passing yards a game in the last three contests for the Steelers, for Russell Wilson. 13.3 points per game in these last three games for the Steelers. So the reason I think Cincinnati's the perfect opponent in this one is because Joe Burrow and company are going to test all those miscommunication things on defense, but offensively, for the Steelers against this Bengals defense, oh my gosh, you should be able to move the ball. You should be able to score points. If you can't, alarm bells are going off. And all those reasons that some have called excuses why I think the Steelers didn't fare well in those three games, well, all those excuses, all those reasons, in my opinion, all null and void. If you can't score points against this defense on long rest with George Pickens back, you're not winning a playoff game. Because Houston's defense is good. Baltimore's defense, since you played them the first time, their pass defense, best in the NFL. Could play them. You can't move it. You can't get momentum going in this game. You ain't moving it, scoring points, winning against either of those teams. So those are the most important things. If they win, I look at that three-game stretch as kind of an aberration. You might not have won any of those games no matter when you played them, but I think the timing obviously hurt them with the injuries and with the three games in 11 days. You lose this game and some of the same problems are rearing their ugly heads, well, then your problems are just problems. And the things that I was talking about are excuses and not reasons. Like, if there's miscommunications when you've had extra time to prepare, if the offense can't move the ball against a bad defense with extra time to prepare, So the Steelers need to do certain things. Most importantly for me is you got to get the offense going. I talked about the miscommunication, all that. The most important thing is to get the offense going. Said it all offseason. We've said it all year. Why were we so excited about Russ initially? You get good quarterback play, you score points. That's how you win in today's NFL. Show that you can do it against this team that has a bad defense, that you feasted against the first time around, putting up 37 offensive points, or 44 offensive points, whatever it was, 44. Feast on that defense. Get the vibes going in the right direction. Get some momentum offensively going in. Yeah, all the defensive stuff's important. You ain't winning playoff games. You ain't making a little bit of a run unless that offense gets going. So that, to me, is the most important thing. What do you think, Martin? One of our favorite callers from Virginia. Hi, Martin.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning. I think the Steelers are going to win this game by probably 10 points. But what I would love to see is for the defense to get all the miscommunications down and just to look like a good defense like they kind of sort of did at the beginning of the year before teams started picking them apart for their mistakes. And then on the other side, I would like to see the offense put up some points, which I think they're going to have to do against Cincinnati if they want to win.
Yeah, a good defensive performance. I'll let you keep going in a second here, Martin. If the Steelers have a good game defensively against Joe Burrow and company, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're holding them under 20. But can you get a crucial third down stop? Can you get a turnover or two? Can you get a big-time sack in a key moment? You're not holding these guys down, but can you slow them down? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see TJ get at least a sack or two because I feel like he's been there this year, but he hasn't really been there like he's been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, you know, the way that they're using him, which it's kind of the same they've been doing or just what, but I'd love to see him get going, you know, as we move into the playoffs, get some momentum.
Well, here's a little nugget for you, Martin, and thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Happy New Year. There you go. I'll give Martin a Happy New Year. We love Martin. Joe Burrow against the Steelers last time, 2.6 seconds from snap to throw. So he got the ball out of his hand quick. He's going to have to do it again because Amarius Mims, their super talented right tackle, albeit a project, would he play 8 games in college? He played 10 games this year. He's still vastly superior to what else they got on that line. And a much more talented player than the right tackle is going to have to play for him because he's not going to go in this game. So Burrow's going to have to get it out quick, but on the occasions he doesn't, yeah, Watt does have to get the quarterback. Joe Burrow's got to be feeling 90 all day long. Newman and others on hold at 412-928-9370. Do you think the Steelers will win? That's question one. If so, why? And question two, what's the number one thing you got to see in this game to get you feeling good about the playoffs? 412-928-9370. I think the Steelers are going to win tomorrow. Do you? 412-928-9370. If so, why? If not, well, why not? And what's the most important thing that you want to see tomorrow that'll give you some faith going into the playoffs? 412-928-9370. Mine is get the dang offense going. Move the ball. Score some points. It's an offensive league. You got to score. We've said it all year. The offense, 13.3 points per game the last three. You need to get back to the 28 points per game mark that you were at prior to the last three with Russell Wilson. That's the most important thing for me going into the playoffs. Others have argued it's getting the communication back on defense. I think that's important too. What say you, 412-928-9370? One thing quickly before we go to the phones and Newman. We have talked chapter and verse about Lamar Jackson and his struggles against the Steelers. And up until the last game in Baltimore, that has been true. I don't think we talk enough about what this Steelers defense has done to Joe Burrow, though. Burrow's a mere 3-3 against the Steelers, a quarterback rating that's substantially lower against Pittsburgh than it is in his career, and a decent touchdown to interception ratio of 14-9, but nowhere near his touchdown interception ratio in his career. Meanwhile, against Baltimore, Joe Burrow has thrown 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 9 games, yeah, but 21-5 as compared to 14-9. Burrow's been able to get over on Baltimore, at least statistically. Against Pittsburgh, he has not. So keep that in mind. Newman in Monongahela. Hello, Newman.
Hello, Adam. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy. You doing good? Things good?
I'm always good.
My man.
So what I think we're going to win. I think the score is going to be 24-21. One of the reasons we have Boz, they don't. And what I like to see is let's not first down, run left. A school could stop that. Run left. Run left. First down. Hey, we're running left. Hey, guys, running left. And I'd like to see Jaylen Warren featured a little bit more, somebody that's going to hit the line, not dance with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Newman, I think Jaylen Warren's going to have a big game, but maybe not necessarily running it. The first game between these teams, running backs caught the ball 13 times for 146 yards. Thanks for the call. 412-928-9370. I'd like to see less Cordarrelle Patterson. If we're getting really down to the nitty-gritty, down to the specifics, I saw somebody tweet a statistic this week that among regular kickoff return specialists in the NFL this year, Cordarrelle Patterson has the lowest average return. Like, he ain't got the wheels since that injury. He looked really good in that Indianapolis game. It might arguably as good as the Steelers running back has looked running the football this year. Then he gets hurt, and he hasn't been the same guy since. Okay, well, Tomlin in his press conference talked about changes. A couple of changes that could be on the way. Things need to change. Got to play better. Two changes I would make. And this isn't just me being a West Virginia guy. Cam Sutton has not played well. When the Steelers are talking about finger pointing, I think a lot of the fingers were pointed at that guy. Has not been good. If you watched Hard Knocks the other night and they're talking about the confusion on the back end, they kept cutting to Cam Sutton. I don't think that's an accident. And the Steelers do have full, final, creative say. So they keep cutting to that guy. Now, I don't know if the say is you're not allowed to show certain things like that, or if it's just the locker room messaging, some of the real behind-the-scenes stuff you're not allowed to put out there. Like if Tomlin says something he doesn't want going out to the masses on Max, okay, you have full creative control over that. Maybe not artistic control, but I don't think it's a coincidence. Cam Sutton's been bad. I'd play Beanie Bishop. Beanie Bishop's found a way to take the football away this year. Cameron Sutton has not been good. That'd be one. And then the other is, look, Cordero's had a hell of a career. But Jaylen Warren, he had something in that KC game. He's their punchiest back they got. I want to see a lot more of him, not just in this Cincinnati game, but I want to see a lot more of him in the playoff game. This is an offense that needs explosion. That's why you miss George Pickens as much as you did. Najee Harris is a good player. Jaylen Warren's a much more explosive player. And when you're fighting fire with fire in a game with Joe Burrow, get the ball in your explosive player's hands. 412-928-9370, your fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What's the most important thing that you can see the Steelers do in this game that will give you faith that they can win a playoff game. 412-928-9370. I want you to ring in on that. And then any changes you would make. Chris Carter's going to join us from the Post-Gazette at the top of the hour. Maybe he's got an idea of who the Steelers were pointing a finger at. What's the number one thing you're hoping to see from the Steelers tomorrow that would give you some faith that they can win a playoff game? 412-928-9370. Here's a good one on the text line. I would like to see the Steelers start a game like they actually have a game plan on both sides of the ball, but especially on offense. Yeah, fast starts would be good. How many times post-game, how many times on a Tomlin Tuesday or whatever day they've been on this year, press conferences, Mike Tomlin talked about the start of games and then says that games are not defined by the way you start, but it's by the way you finish. Steelers get their butts whooped every time they make the playoffs at the beginning of these games. They're digging out of a hole constantly. They were down big time against Cleveland. They were down big time against Jacksonville. They were down big time against New England. They ultimately were down big time after a 7-0 start against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's plagued them in the playoffs in the past. It's plagued them this season. So a fast start, yes, would be massive. And the one real fast start they've had offensively this year, kind of, was against the Bengals. And even then, there was the pick six thrown on the first possession. There should have been a call. Bad officiating. George Pickens goes down. Mike Tomlin hugs him, that whole thing. But you throw the pick six, and then you scored on every other possession of the first half. Can you do something similar to that in this game? It was touchdown, 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 field goal, field goal. And then even to start the second half, missed field goal, so you're in scoring range, touchdown. You had to go until the fourth quarter before the Steelers punted again. And that missed field goal was the block kick, obviously. So after that first possession, the Steelers did not punt the football. Every single drive ended in points or attempt at points until right at the very beginning of the fourth quarter. Yeah, fast start would be huge. That's a good one. Show that it's at least capable in December that you can start a game fast. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette going to join us in about 10 minutes here. We're going to talk to him about some of these Steelers' defensive breakdowns, what he saw. He's a big film breaker downer guy on the George Pickens-Russell Wilson miscommunication that's been oft discussed since Christmas Day. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Texter, I want to see the defense do something different. Teams double and chip Watt every damn play. Well, then blitz a few times from the other side. Yeah, I've been asking for that for a while. They don't move Watt around enough. And Watt was getting more hate yesterday on social media, and actually mainstream media, from Bill Barnwell. Bill Barnwell talking about how the Steelers have a better pass rush win rate, higher pressure percentage, easy for me to say, when T.J. Watt's off the field. He left T.J. Watt off his all-pro team. Which, I'm sorry, I'm getting so annoyed. I'm not sorry, why am I apologizing? I'm so annoyed by the continued devaluing of one of, if not the best defensive players in football by those in the national media. And I don't know why it is, but my theory is everyone seems to love Myles Garrett. And they want Myles Garrett to get over on T.J. Watt. I could give a rat's ass about pass rush friggin' win rate. Do you get the quarterback on the ground? Do you take the football away? Does the team's entire defensive game plan go into stopping number 90 for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'll answer my own question. Yes. Now, this has not been his best year. I'll acknowledge that. He probably acknowledged that. Meanwhile, Myles Garrett in a press conference yesterday said, I'm the best defensive player in football. This just in, if you got to keep telling everybody every week, you're probably not. T.J. Watt goes about his business quietly. Myles Garrett's got to tell you every week how good he is. Going off on a tangent here, don't care. Pass, rush, win rate. And you got some guy, Marcus Mosher, who I think's been on the station before. talking about how sacks are a made-up statistic since 1980, but then quotes chapter and verse, pass rush, win rate, and presser percentage, all of things that are difficult to say. I'm not Dr. Seuss over here. How the hell can you quote pass rush win rate? I'll take another stab at it. And then tell me out of the other side of your mouth and be a serious human being that sacks are a made-up statistic. Okay, they've been tracking it since 1980. Newsflash, that was 45 years ago. Getting the quarterback on the ground or not ain't made up. But whether you chart, well, that's a pass rush win, that's not made up, the hell out of here with this nonsense. Last year is the only year in the history of professional football that T.J. Watt would not have won the damn Defensive Player of the Year award when compared to competition. Myles Garrett disappeared in the second half of the season. T.J. Watt was elite from start to finish. Beat him in all the traditional counting metrics, but because Pro Football Focus says that he didn't get double-teamed as much, Myles Garrett got to win the award. It's a joke. Went off on a tangent there. It's a big game for Watt. Marius Mims, right tackle for Cincinnati, probably not going to play. He's a behemoth. Was he 6'8", raw, super talented? He's hurt. I don't think he will play. So you got a backup right tackle against T.J. Watt. To bring it back around to this game, yeah, I'd love to see them move Watt around. But even in this one, if they don't, okay, win that matchup. Get Joe Burrow on the ground. Be a factor all game long. He got sacked 7 times last week. You should be able to get to him at least a handful of times.